The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahman ar-rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to this special series of programs, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this series of programs, we delve into our rich heritage that we have as Muslims. And the reason why we do this program really is because a lot of our youngsters especially, and even our elders, don't realize that we have a rich heritage. And when I mean a rich heritage, a rich history to look into, you know, and so much that we can learn from our past. We have such great personalities in the history of Islam. You know, if we look at our pious predecessors, we look at the lives of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we look at the life of the wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's because of the things that, you know, they've done in their lives that we can learn so much from. And just before I begin and you know, introduce who we're going to talk about today, I'm going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have said that whoever recites Salat upon me 100 times a day. Now, you know, sometimes, before I give you the blessing of reciting 100 times a day, a lot of people sometimes think, 100, oof, that's a lot. You know, trust me, if you started reciting Durood-e Pak 100 times, you know, the time it could probably take you to, you know, get ready to leave your house, you know, put your coat on, get your shoes on, find your keys, find your wallet, find your mobile phone, and walk out the house, get to the car, open the door of the car, get in the car and start the car. In that time, you could probably maybe, if not read 100, close to 100 Durood-e Pak. That's all it is. And it's one of those things that you can do that you could be multitasking. You can be reciting Durood-e Pak whilst you're doing other things as well. So it doesn't take up a lot of prime time. And when I mean prime time, I mean time that is going to take, you have to stop doing something. You know, stopping doing something if you're, you know, I don't know, whatever job you're doing, you have to stop doing that job to be able to do this. No, you can continue doing job in most cases and recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites Salat upon me 100 times a day, he shall have 100 of their needs fulfilled by Allah, 70 of them for his hereafter and 30 of them for this world. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. How hard is that? 100 Durood-e Pak, the needs of the hereafter and the needs of this world, inshallah, azza wa jal, 30 in this world will be fulfilled. Viewers of Mother Channel, on Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow, we look into the life of our pious predecessors and try and learn something from their life. Learn something from yesterday so that we can make a change today and we can have a better tomorrow. And just recently, I was traveling from abroad, come back from abroad, and whilst I was over there, I was thinking about, and I've thought about this many times, it's just something I want to share with you, that when we talk about our pious predecessors and the people of the past, I started to think to myself that if we go back in our history, my personal history, and if you go to back in your personal history, and when I mean your history, I don't mean just your life, your ancestors, your father, your grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, go back 100 years, go back 200 years, go back 300 years, keep on going back, except for those that are the Sayyids amongst us, and except for maybe a few individuals, you will go back and you'll find a time when there was an individual from your ancestors that was not a Muslim. And I think about that. And I think about the fact that, number one, I don't know who that ancestor was. In most cases, I think maybe some of you, but in my case, I don't know. I also don't know who it was that invited my ancestor to Islam. I don't know where that person is buried. I don't know what day he passed away. But I remember him, and I do dua for him. Because if it was not for that person, then we would not be here today. So the people of the past, they've done their job. And I think we need to learn from their lives, have the sacrifices that they made, so that they can bring Islam to here. And today we're not talking about my ancestor who brought me to Islam. We're talking about a great companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's said about this companion that he bought paradise. Sounds a bit weird, that, doesn't it? But it says so stated that he's that companion that bought paradise several times. And inshallah, during the program, you'll start to understand how this particular companion bought paradise. It is stated views of Madhishan that during the expedition of Tabuk, the companions were journeying with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And during that journey, a great difficulty presented them. The companions had no more food, they had no more water to drink, and the blazing heat was upon them. And the hunger and the thirst was getting worse and worse as time went on. And it said that signs of distress and sadness were visible upon the faces of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, and it stated that when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this, he said that, "I take an oath by Allah that you will be sent provision by him before the sun sets." Allah Akbar. This is the faith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that, "I swear by Allah, you will get a provision from Allah before the sun sets." Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was also in the army of the companions. And hearing these prophetic words, he immediately went and bought 7 camels carrying huge amounts of grain and presented them to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it stated that the companions were overjoyed at the sight of this with happiness on their faces. Those that were hypocrites, on the other hand, were seen looking upset. When the camels were presented to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he inquired, "What is this and whose are these?" And the companions replied that, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Uthman radiallahu anhu sent these as a gift for you." Allahu Akbar. It is stated that the narrator of the hadith said that as soon as Allah's Messenger heard this, he raised his hands in prayer above his head and he prayed for Uthman. Sayyidina Uthman ghani radiallahu anhu, he prayed for him in a way that I've never seen him do for anybody else. Allahu Akbar. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu explains, he said that, "I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying for Uthman all night, saying, 'Oh Allah, Oh Allah, I'm pleased with Uthman. You too be pleased with him.'" He did the dua that, "Ya Allah, I'm pleased with Uthman radiallahu anhu. Oh Allah, you be pleased with him." How fortunate. You know, think about those companions that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pleased with. You know, that he said, "Oh Allah, I'm pleased with him. Oh Allah, I'm pleased with him. You also be pleased with him." And it stated that, you know, if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is pleased with somebody, what more could they want in this world? And, you know, you look at the life of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they competed with each other. And they didn't compete with each other in the same way that me and you compete. Me and you compete in who can have the biggest car, the biggest house, who can be more successful in this materialistic world. They competed with each other in pleasing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this great companion, Sayyidina Uthman ghani radiallahu anhu, was one such companion who looked for opportunities. He searched for opportunities. He looked for opportunities to please Allah, to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we should also try to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how can we do it? We can do it by our good deeds, viewers on the channel. We can do it by trying to avoid committing sins. We can do it by sending durood e pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can do it by making the zikr of Allah, by reading the Quran, by, you know, doing good deeds and traveling in the way of Allah. There's so many ways that we can please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ultimately please the Creator as well. But the problem is that we don't have that mindset to look at things with an opportunity to please Allah and His Rasul. We have this mindset that we look at things in this world and see how we can better ourselves. And when I say better ourselves, I don't mean better ourselves spiritually, I mean better ourselves financially. We look at an opportunity where we can get more overtime. We look at an opportunity where we can make more money. We look at an opportunity where we can buy something cheap and sell it for a profit. We're looking for these opportunities. You get people, they're on the phone scrolling, you know, through these groups and looking for things to buy and looking at where they can sell things and looking at them opportunities. How many of us, I'm talking to the brothers now, how many of us will scroll through social media looking for, you know, is there a Madri Kafla traveling this weekend? You know, where can I go? Where's the Madri Kafla traveling this weekend? Are Dawud Islamian doing any courses this weekend? You know, do we phone up our local Zimadars and say, you know, what's going on? You know, is there anything I can do? You know, I've got a week off work. Please tell me what I can do. Do we look for them opportunities? You know, and I think our mindset is not like that. We don't have that mindset where we try to look for opportunities for good deeds. And we see that from the people of the past that they would do such a thing. And the example I've used many, many times that, you know, the month before The month of Ramadan, there is a blessed night called Shab-e Barat. And on that night, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has informed us that on that night, more people are forgiven on the hair, on the sheep of the tribe of Bani Kalb. And Bani Kalb was a tribe that had sheep, and they had a breed of sheep that was very hairy. So the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this example that more people are forgiven than the number of hair on all of them sheep. That night was presented to us. It's presented to us every night. How many of us utilize that night? How many of us look forward to that night? It's an opportunity to get our sins forgiven. But you know, I've got a mic on my collar here, as you can see. If I was to make an announcement now, and I was to say that, look, I'm in the Rochdale studios at the moment here, that after this program, whoever comes to the studio with proof of their debts and give me the bank details, I will transfer the amount of money to their bank to pay off their debts. And if I was to make this announcement, how many people would come to the studio today? In the hope, people would come in the hope that there's a silly person in the studio that says he's going to pay off our debts, and oof, if we go there, he might not. But just with that hope that maybe this silly person that's there, this crazy person that's in the studio, may pay off our debts. And you'd go there in the hope that maybe he would do it. How many of us went to the house of Allah with the hope of praying that night and getting our debts forgiven? How many of us stayed up at home even, doing zikr of Allah, reading the Quran, doing dua, doing nafil salah, asking for forgiveness in the court of Allah, when we had the opportunity? And that is where, you know, we as Muslims are struggling, that we are not looking for those opportunities to get our sins forgiven. We're not looking for them opportunities to please our Creator. We're not looking for them opportunities to please the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it's not as if they don't exist. You know, sometimes they say that, oh, in this world it's hard to make some profit because there's so many business people out there. It's hard. And it's hard to find something cheap. It's hard to sell something. It's hard to do this. It's hard to do that. It is. Okay, I'll agree with you. You know, business is hard. You know, making more money isn't easy. But in many cases, making more deeds isn't that hard. You know, to get them good deeds isn't that hard. To get the blessings isn't that hard. To please the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam isn't that hard. To please our Creator isn't that hard. You know, even if, like I said, 100 Durood-e Paak at the beginning, 100 salutations, how long will it take? You know, reading our Salah 5 times a day, how long does it take? You know, so there's people that, you know, think about the 5 daily salam, think of it as a burden, think to themselves that, look, how is it going to take me so long to read them 5 daily salah? Work it out. If you get into the habit, viewers of the channel, of staying in a state of wudu, that whenever you go to the washroom, make wudu, and try and stay in a state of wudu as long as possible, then your namaz, how long is it going to take? How long will Fajr take? How long will Zuhr take? How long will Asr take? How long will Maghrib take? How long will Isha take? If you combine all of these together, an hour? Probably less, even less, if you shorten the prayers. If you don't read the nafil, even less if you shorten the prayers. Why? Because we are not having that mindset to look for them opportunities. And that is views of the channel where we see that we are failing. We see from the people of the past that they would look for opportunities. And this is one companion that, if I talk about Sayyidina Usman Ghani, he is one companion that would look for opportunities. And he was one of the greatest companions of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was the grandson of the Prophet's aunt, Ummu Hakim radiallahu ta'ala, and so he had a distant connection to the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's also a nephew of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was also from that group of people, the first people to accept Islam, being the fourth or fifth to do so. He's also counted amongst the 10 special companions, the Ashram Mubashara, that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them glad tidings of paradise. And he is also blessed that he married 2 daughters of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it said that, a hadith explains that indeed Allah revealed to me that I should marry 2 of my daughters to Uthman radiallahu anhu. In another hadith it is mentioned that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if I had 100 daughters and one of them passed away, I would give the second to Uthman in marriage. If she passed away, I would give the third. And this would continue until I married all 100 of my daughters to him. You know, when you just read about that aspect of his life, just that one aspect of his life, you know, those amongst you, amongst the people that are watching this program, if you are a parent to a daughter, then no matter how good your son-in-law is, sometimes you have your doubts.
you have your doubts afterwards and you think, you know, did I do right? Did I? And you're always questioning yourself, because in life there's always ups and downs. It happens all the time. There's sometimes where you'll be really glad, and there's sometimes that you're worried, and sometimes you'll be concerned. But the true test is that you know, that person that you've married your daughter to, if your daughter, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, it never happens to anybody, was to pass away, then would you marry your second daughter to him or not? Your third daughter to him as well? You know, is that, and what kind of person would it take for you to be able to do such a thing? And we see within Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was willing, if he had 100 daughters, to marry each daughter to him one by one. That in statement in itself tells you something about the life, the status, the piety, what type of person he must have been, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was willing to marry all of his daughters to him one by one if need be. So again, there's something that we need to learn from his life. The fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he says that Sayyidina Usman is the son-in-law of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was given glad tidings of paradise by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after the martyrdom of Sayyidina the second Khalifa, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was made the Khalifa. It is stated that there was an overwhelming majority of Muslims wanted this to occur. And after serving as the Khalifa for 12 years, he was martyred on the 18th of Zulhajj, 35 Al-Hijri. Views of the channel, this is just one companion. We're going to talk a little bit more about him. We're going to go for a little break at the moment. We've got one of our packages at the day. We're going to go for a break, but we're going to continue to talk about them. But I think one of the aims of these programs, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, is to give you a taster about the life of our pious predecessor, a taster about the life of certain companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, before we go to the package, if I was to ask the people here today, you know, putting aside the pious predecessors that we talk about, putting aside even the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many of us have actually read a seerah, a biography of the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And that in itself tells us something. That what do we know about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if you are amongst those fortunate ones that read a seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many of us have read the seerah of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of us have read the seerah of our pious predecessors? And you know, if you were start to go, it'd come less and less and less, and there'd be fewer and fewer and fewer people that read the lives of these people. And these are our role models. These people that we talk about week in, week out on this program are our role models for us. When we talk about the female pious predecessors, they are the role models for our sisters. When we talk about the male role models, they are role models for our brothers. But in some aspects of their life, the way that they live their life, the male pious predecessors, they're also role models for our brothers and our sisters. If we can take something from their life, learn something from their life, of something that happened yesterday, so that we make a change in our life today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the first package of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
There's a famous saying that knowledge will give you power, but character will give you respect. A person's character affects the people associated with him. A good character will produce a good effect, and a bad character will produce a bad effect, as well as hindrance to many good things. In the homes that observes truth, gentle conversation, good manners, and prayers, often their children also follow the same path. On the contrary, children from abusive homes where foul language and curse words are used, they go astray like adults. It is because of the character that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared His final Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam a role model for entire creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran in Surah Ahzab, verse number 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, for you, following the Messenger of Allah is best. The way good character was important and necessary in the past, it is important and necessary today and will be in the future as well. For the pleasure of Allah, analyze your character. If correction is needed, let's correct it. Watch the lectures in Madani Muzakara of Amir Ahl Sunnah and make it a habit of filling out the pious deed booklet. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, with the blessings of these activities, we'll be on the path of reforming our character towards goodness. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Malay Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we're talking about one of the greatest companions of the Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman Ghani, radiallahu anhu, the third Khalifa of Islam. With regards to the companions, just generally speaking here about the companions of the Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jal declares in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Hadith, verse number 10, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allah has promised them all the most beautiful reward, paradise. In this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla has promised paradise to all the companions. Now, whoever is promised this by Allah Azza wa Jalla, can anybody imagine the immense status and high rank that these blessed individuals have? Allah Azza wa Jalla announces in another ayat of the Quran, in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 101 to 103, those for whom goodness from us has been promised previously, they shall be kept away from it, hell. They shall not hear its slightest sound, and they will reside within that which their hearts desire forever. The greatest bewilderment will not sadden them, and the angels shall welcome them. This is your day, which you were promised. In this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla explained five virtues that will be granted to those promised. Number one, they'll be kept away from the hellfire. Number two, they will not even hear the slightest sound of it. Number three, they will reside forever in that which their hearts desire. Number four, they will not fear the great terror of the day of judgment. And number five, the angel will greet them by saying, this is your day which you were promised. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, from these two verses we learn that all the companions have been promised paradise. This means that they shall be kept far from the fire, they will not even hear the slightest sound of it. They will reside in that which their hearts desire, and by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, angels will welcome them on the day of judgment. In this way, all of the companions are promised paradise. Yet Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he is that fortunate companion who is given the glad tidings of paradise not only once but many, many times. And I'm just going to share with you a few hadiths in which the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him the glad tidings of paradise. Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, he said that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that every prophet shall have a rafiq in paradise. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, mine is Uthman. Allahu Akbar. That my rafiq, my friend in paradise will be Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. The Ummah's leading expert in the Quran, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, explained that one day the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a person from the people of paradise will come to you from this path. We then saw Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu arrive. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Another hadith which gives the glad tidings of paradise to the companions. The companion Abu Musa al-Ashri radiallahu anhu said, I was once with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a garden of Medina. A person then came to the gate and knocked. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, open the gate for him and issue him glad tidings of paradise. He said, I went and behold, it was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. I opened the gate for him and relayed of glad tidings of paradise, upon which he thanked Allah Azza wa Jalla. After a while, there was another knock at the door. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, open the gate for him and issue him glad tidings of paradise. I opened the gate and behold, it was Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. And I relayed the glad tidings of paradise to him, upon which he also thanked Allah Azza wa Jalla. After some time, there was a third knocking on the door. And this time the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, open the gate for him, tell him that after a calamity, he will enter paradise. I opened the gate and behold, it was Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. I relayed to him the glad tidings of paradise, and I told him that he has a trial upcoming. He gave thanks to Allah Azza wa Jalla for this good news of paradise, and then he said, Allah is whose help that I need. I have Allah with me, he is the one that I need the help for. And this contact means that he will be successful in this trial with Allah's help. Three special companions of Allah's Messenger were specifically mentioned here. Now let's mention the fourth of them, as in the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Sa'id bin Zayd states that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Ali, he will go to paradise. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned news of the unseen relating to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, narrating, namely that he would have a tribulation in his life, and this would befall him. This trial occurred at the end of the latter's Khalifat. A band of rebels attacked his home, preventing him from leaving and stopping any food from going in. Eventually, he was martyred in a very oppressive fashion. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed him of this trial many years prior to its occurrence. It is apparent that by the bestowal of Allah azza wa jalla, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows the occurrences of the near and the distant future. In fact, he knows the events of the day of judgment and beyond. Sayyidina Uqbah bin Amir radiallahu anhu narrates how the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that on the night of Miraj, I entered Jannat and came across a beautiful, large-eyed maiden of paradise. I asked her, "Who are you for?" And she replied, "I am for your successor who shall be unjustly martyred, Uthman bin Affan." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan is certainly promised paradise. Certainly promised paradise. And in relation to this, he has the unique virtue of having purchased, and this is where I'm coming to the purchasing of paradise from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam many times. But before I tell you how he purchased paradise from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's go to the Kalam of the day. Inshallah, when we come back from the Kalam of the day, I mentioned how Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu purchased paradise. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aayi naseeme kuwe Muhammad. Aayi naseeme kuwe Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aayi naseeme kuwe Muhammad. Aayi naseeme kuwe Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khichne laga dil sue Muhammad. Khichne laga dil sue Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Tuba ki janib dakne walo. Tuba ki janib dakne walo, aankhein kholo, hosh sambhalo, aankhein kholo, hosh sambhalo, dekho gade dil jue Muhammad, dekho gade dil jue Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aayi naseeme kuwe Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khichne laga dil sue Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Naam usi ka baabe karam hai. Naam usi ka baabe karam hai. Dekh yehi mehrabe haram hai. Dekh yehi mehrabe haram hai. Dekh hame ab rooe Muhammad. Dekh hame ab rooe Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu وسلم آئی نسیمِ کوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کھچنے لگا دل سوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ہم سب کا رخ سوئے کعبہ ہم سب کا رخ سوئے کعبہ سوئے محمد روئے کعبہ سوئے محمد روئے کعبہ کعبے کا کعبہ کوئے محمد کعبے کا کعبہ کوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آئی نسیمِ کوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کھچنے لگا دل سوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم بھینی بھینی خوشبو لہکی بھینی بھینی خوشبو لہکی بے دم دل کی دنیا مہکی بے دم دل کی دنیا مہکی کھل گئے جب گے سوئے محمد کھل گئے جب گے سوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آئی نسیمِ کوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کھچنے لگا دل سوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. Before the break, we mentioned that the companion, Sayyidina Usman Ghani, is that companion that people have stated that he purchased paradise, the one who bought paradise. And I'm going to explain now, inshallah. It is stated that the grandson of Sayyidina Umar Farooq relates that once a need arose to expand the Masjid-e-Haram and a nearby house had to be purchased. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the owner, give this home away for the expansion of the Masjid and I guarantee you a home in paradise. Perhaps maybe the man did not realize the eminence of this guarantee and thus he did not agree to sell it. When news of this reached Sayyidina Usman Ghani, he rushed to visit the homeowner. Sayyidina Usman Ghani encouraged him to accept this offer, and until he finally purchased the house from him for 10,000 dinars. He then came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, that O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, news has reached me that you wish to include so and so home inside Masjid al-Haram, upon which you have guaranteed them a home in paradise. That home is now mine. Do you give me the same guarantee that you gave him? Allahu Akbar. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you have the same guarantee. Hearing this, Sayyidina Usman Ghani gave that house as an endowment for Masjid al-Haram. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know, this is like, again, looking for opportunities.
looking for opportunities. As soon as he heard that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given this offer to this person, and as soon as he heard that this person accepted, he rushed to him, convinced him, offered him whatever it took, and he purchased this house. And then came and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu, is that offer still on? Is it still available? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied in the affirmative, and he gave him, Allahu Akbar, in return for a house in paradise. Like this, a time came when Masjid al-Nabvi had to be expanded. And there was a piece of land nearby, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced the glad tidings of paradise in exchange for its inclusion in the masjid. As soon as Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu learnt of this, he quickly reached the owner of that plot, purchased that plot, and gave that as a part of the masjid. You know, just the mindset, just thinking to yourself at that time that, you know, an opportunity arose. He'd already done it once. He'd already been given the glad tidings. You know, these companions, what amazes me, even though they've been given the glad tidings of paradise, that didn't make him stop. That didn't make him stop. You know how you see in this world, you see people in this world that are very greedy for money. And it's a bad greed. Greed for money is not, it's not a good greed. No matter how much they have, they're always crying poverty. Yeah, I've not got enough, I'm struggling at this and that. Always crying, they're always more and more and more. Even when they become millionaires, it's still never enough for them. Now that's a bad greed. But a good greed is that greed for good deeds. Because people like me and you, we've not had any glad tidings of paradise. We don't know what our fate will be. We don't even know whether we're going to die with the iman. So for us, we always have that fear inside us. For us, we're always, hopefully, striving to achieve that goal. For us, we're always trying to make sure that we get to that state where our Creator is pleased with us. But if any one of us were given the glad tidings of paradise once, just once, that you've got a certificate guaranteed, how would we then become? Would we still be getting up for Fajr? Would we still be fasting in the month of Ramadan? Would we still be giving away money in the way of Allah? Would we still be doing these good deeds? Or would we think, you know what, we've got it sorted today? And when I think about it, I think unfortunately in many cases we'd have that latter attitude. Where I've made it now. I don't need any more. And we don't have that greed inside ourselves, that good greed, to be able to perform good deeds, more and more good deeds, to please our Creator even more, to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more. And we see with Sayyidina Usman Ghani that, you know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam given the glad tidings of paradise. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam given the glad tidings when he presented that house for the Masjid al-Haram. The glad tidings of paradise were given to him when, you know, he presented that land for Masjid al-Nabi. And it goes on. The Banu Najir once owned a dape orchard in Medina. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that who will purchase this and build a masjid? Sayyidina Usman radhiyallahu anhu hastened forward, purchased the orchard and built a masjid. Upon this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he promised him a garden in paradise. Allahu Akbar. You know, it's this mindset that you need to think about. Just try and think about the mindset of these people. They had families. They had wives, they had kids, they had needs, they had wants. You know, they wanted to have a comfortable place to sit, a comfortable place to sleep. They wanted to eat. You know, they wanted all of these things. But they sacrificed a lot of this. They sacrificed nearly all of it. Not only did they sacrifice this materialistic world, they were willing to sacrifice their lives. And we see from the lives of the companions that they did this. And it's just trying to understand that mindset. That yes, they were unique human beings, but they were human beings. And yet they made them sacrifices. And even in today's world, we see people that for the sake of the deen of Islam continue to make sacrifices. They don't live for this dunya, they live for the akhirat. And as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking in my own mind, about the leader, Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of the Islam, the sacrifices that he's made all his life, even till today, you know, constantly making the sacrifices for the deen of Islam. And I remember we were watching the Madinah Muzakara on Saturday night. And some of you may know that at the moment, alhamdulillah, it's Shabazz Madinah that does the program Rise and Shine in the morning. But I did it for quite a long time, and it's a 1.5 hour program. I used to remember that after the 1.5 hour program, just 1.5 hours, I used to get up off the chair and I used to be stiff and tired and mentally tired because I've been talking for that long, even though there's packages and there's breaks in the beginning. But you get tired, you get mentally tired, and you're physically tired because you're sitting in that position. For 1.5 hours, I used to sit there. And then I look at Meera Sunnat on a Saturday night. 3 hours, 4 hours. And then he'll go away and have a short break, and then he'll sit for 3 or 4 hours again in the special Madini Murazakas that take place till Fajr. You know, the sacrifices that he make, you know, obviously, does he not need rest? Does his body not need rest? He's not a young man anymore. And yet he continues day in, day out, every single day of his life, every single moment of his life, he continues to make them sacrifices. Why? To please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? To please the Creator. And that is a lesson for all of us, how we should try and live our lives, how we should try and live our lives in such a way that our primary goal in life should be to please our Creator. You know, I mentioned it before on Madhuri Channel that people nowadays make bucket lists. And a bucket list is a list of things that people want to do in their life, or places that they want to go in their life, or things that they want to get in their life. Anything that they want to do, basically. And some people are thinking, I want to drive a sports car, I want to go to this place, I want to have that kind of house, I want to have this, and they make a list of all the things that they want to do. And, you know, I want to go skiing or whatever it is, like hill climbing, whatever it is they want to do. You know, if we were to make a list, what would be on our list? Think about it. And then, would it be on our list anywhere to please our Creator? Would it be on our list anywhere to live my life in such a way that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be pleased with me? Would it be on my list anywhere to live according to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Would it be on my list anywhere to perform the obligatory acts that are obligatory on me, the fasting, the salah, the hajj, the zakat? Would that be on our list? And if it is on our list, where is it on our list? If, for example, Hajj, would that be on our list? That I want to be, Ya Allah, I want to be, you know, physically and financially capable of performing the Hajj. I want to make Hajj fard upon me. And you get people nowadays that they'll spend money just so that Hajj will not become fard upon them. Oh no, no, I need to get rid of that money, otherwise Hajj will be fard upon me. Oh, I need to do that. You know, where is it on our list? What are our priorities in life? What are our goals in life? What are we trying to achieve in this life? What should we be preparing for every single day of our life? We should be preparing every single day of our life for the day that we're going to die. That's what we're born to be. Think about it. The angel of death could come to us at any time. How are we living our lives? Are we living our lives in such a way that we're trying our best to prepare ourselves for that day? And I'm not seeing it's easy. You know, living a pious life isn't easy. But paradise isn't cheap either, is it? How are we living our life? I want you to ask yourself that question. What is our goals in our life? What do we want to achieve in this world? And I'm not saying that having them goals of having that car or traveling to that place or buying that house or doing this or that, I'm not saying it's haram. But what I am saying is this, if you're trying to achieve them goals, and by trying to achieve them goals, it takes you away from your obligatory acts, then yes, it is haram. If as a result of you achieving them goals, you're not fasting, you're not praying, you're not giving your zakat money, you're not performing the hajj that is fard upon you because you become wealthy now, then that is haram for you. So we need to review our goals, review our life before it's too late. User Mother Chan, we've got another small package. I think I've gone over a little bit long. We've got a final package of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we'll sum up the topic of the day. Let's go to this final package of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sayyidina Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha used to sit in her hujra, that is a small room, prior to sunset, and would ask her maid to stand outside. As the sun begins to set, the maid would inform her about it, and Sayyidina Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha would raise her blessed hands for supplication. Dear viewers of the channel, it is better to ask a concise supplication at that moment. For instance, the following Quranic supplication: Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar. Translation of Quran, Kanzul Iman: O Rabb, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter and save us from the torment of fire. One can recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as well with the intention of supplication, as Salat al-Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam itself is a magnificent supplication. It is preferable to supplicate between both sermons by heart, without raising hands and without uttering anything verbally. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers, Ahmadi channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we're talking about the great companion, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. And you know, 1 hour cannot give justice to the life of any of our praised predecessors, let alone the life of the companions, let alone the life of some of the great companions, let alone the life of one of the Khalifas of Islam, and let alone the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the aim of this program is to just give us a taster, and hopefully that we would go away and we would also go and read about the life of these people. It is stated that the third Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Usman Ghani, he is the one that bought paradise. And he purchased it not just once, but many times as well. And one incident is very famous in this regard. It's stated that when the companions emigrated to Medina, they found no water available. And there was, however, a well named Rumah. And the owner of this would sell water from the well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then guaranteed a spring in paradise for whoever bought this well and give it to the Muslims. Allahu Akbar. When again this news reached Sayyidina Usman Ghani, he purchased the well and he gave it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla so that the Muslims could take the water from the free. The renowned hadith expert Sheikh Abdul Haq Dalwi rahmatullah ta'ala writes, he said that this well was owned by a non-Muslim. Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, he purchased half of it for him for 12,000. Now, because half of the well had become an endowment, nobody needed to buy its water. That non-Muslim then struggled to earn anything from it. And as a result, he also sold the other half for 8,000 dirhams. This means that Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala purchased this well for 20,000 dirhams in total. And after giving it freely to the Muslims, he attained the glad tidings of paradise in return. One day the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by that well. And it was said to him that this was the well of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. He bought it and he gave it away in charity to the Muslims. Hearing this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the dua: O Allah, make paradise necessary for him. Allahu Akbar. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank from that well's water. And he explained, he said that there shall be many springs with sweet water in this valley, and the well of Rumah, this shall be the sweetest. Allahu Akbar. This narration highlights the generosity of the third Khalifa, Sayyidina Usman Ghani, that he spent in the way of Allah, gave in the way of Allah. And he looked for opportunity. He never ever thought to himself that I've done enough, that I've bought that land for Masjid al-Haram, I bought that house, I bought that land for Masjid al-Nabi, I've supplied them camels when they were traveling to Tabuk. He didn't give up. He always continued to look for opportunities. And viewers of Mother China, we also should look for opportunities. I'll share with you a personal thing that I do. That alhamdulillah, in the UK, we have, Dawud Islami has approximately 102 buildings now in the UK. There are a majority of them are madrasas and jamias and masjids, etc., etc. What I try to do is that whenever I visit any of these projects, I try and put something in that. You know, they have these, a lot of them have these, you know, units that, you know, we've got 10,000 units we need to buy and 20,000, and it's a unit is £75, £100 or £200. If I can, I'll purchase a unit. If not, I will try and put something in so that I have a share, a little share, a very small share in all of these, in the hope that this share that I have
in the works of Dawah Islami can benefit me on the Day of Judgment. The aim of Madri Channel is to inform. The aim of Madri Channel is to rectify ourselves and rectify the people of the whole world. The aim of Madri Channel is to pass this message on of Quran and Sunnah to all the four corners of the globe. But obviously, Dawah Islami is in front of you. Our expenses are in front of you. Madri Channel alone is in front of you. Here in the UK, we not only do we pay for the satellite that is here, but we also have satellites that we fund that supply other parts of the globe as well. And the expense of just Madri Channel here in the UK, for them satellites, for the studios, for the technical team, for the equipment, for the satellites, for the sky fees, for all of these, comes close, if not more, than £2,000 every single day. How is it happening? It's happening through your kind donations. Here in the UK, we have Madrasat al-Madina. 7,000 children studying in Madrasat al-Madina. We have Jamiat al-Madina, where we are creating the English-speaking scholars of the future. We have over 50 masjids here in the UK. We have all of these activities going on in front of you. And wherever possible, we try not to charge any fees whatsoever. But obviously, even when we charge the fees, we're still running at a loss. You know, it's just a portion of our expenses are covered by whatever we do charge any fees. The rest is down to your kind donations. I would request all of the viewers that are watching this Madri Channel to use this opportunity to please our Creator. Use this opportunity to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Use this opportunity to buy something for yourself in the hereafter. You've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The special favor of Allah, Awliya Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Awliya Allah.